And my very special guest is Kevin Galilee. And like the Sea of Galilee, he's unleashing an ocean of information about Depop. Elation. Thank you very much for joining us for a full 2 hours today. It's actually quite an awesome show so far, and it's your fault.
So yeah. we were talking about Japan.
Yeah.
I was just about to divulge the first method of population control that was used on the Japanese and all the other Axis powers. But before I say what it was, I just should mention that Japan is an island nation with very limited natural resources, an already very large population, and a modern economy that demanded, you know, vast imports of foreign resources. Japan was really the ideal testing ground for aggressive fluoridation, which was the only tried and tested fertility-depressing agent known at the time. The Nazis had used it on the Jews, and the Soviets had used it on their Gulag prisoners. And it was found to be not only extremely effective both for sterilizing men and women, but also in inducing a kind of bovine state of obedience and submissiveness, which explains...
May I ask, what's the evidence that the Nazis and the Soviets used this on people? Because I've heard this before. It makes sense to me, yet I've never seen any direct evidence. And I've talked to, Dr. Paul Connett from the Fluoride Action Network about this, and he says that it's not true. But he didn't show me any documents or evidence to prove his case either.
The reason there is no evidence, because the evidence has been censored out of the public record. There have been several mentions of this during the Nuremberg trials, but they have been cut out subsequently. And nobody was allowed to speak on this issue, none of the lawyers on either side, during the Nuremberg trials.
They were planning on using it in further, and if it had come out during the Nuremberg trials and become part of the public record, then they wouldn't be able to continue this public, in inverted commas, health policy being instituted.
And not only were they planning on using this this method, but they're planning on using the people with the expertise. The only people with the expertise. And this is the very, very interesting part. Now, in Japan, the work of poisoning the Japanese with fluoride was accomplished by the Japanese themselves. And who? Well, the war criminals from Unit 731, which was a military unit within the Japanese military that had been conducting lethal human experiments on civilians since 1937.
These the ones that took prisoners from Manchuria and China,
yes,
and experimented on them, huh?
Among other things. The members of this unit, which was officially known as the Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Department, what an adequate name for fluoridating the water, were given immunity from criminal prosecution at war's end by General MacArthur, who was the supreme commander of the Allied forces. And instead of being executed for murder and war crimes, they were put to good work on sterilizing their fellow nationals. And many of these of the scientists who belonged to the Unit 731 went on to stellar careers within the ranks of the political establishment in Japan and civil service. So the Japanese themselves poisoned their own population.
So it's like the Japanese equivalent of Operation Paperclip to a large degree.
Yes, and it was of course the material was supplied by the Brits and the Americans, but it was the Japanese themselves who put fluoride in the water. God knows at what concentrations, because there was certainly not at the tender and limited concentrations of today. And this is why it works so beautifully. In the countryside, where there were no water treatment plants, they were handing out fluoride pills along with their rations, with the food rations. As you well know, Japan was devastated after the Second World War. The population was starving, and they were fully dependent on food rations for several years.
And then that's part of the reason why the Japanese tried to surrender a number of times, but weren't allowed to surrender until after the nukes were dropped, because they wanted to see what it would do.
Yes. Having unconditionally surrendered meant that the Japanese had to submit to whatever the Allied powers would institute after the war, and all the help that they received, the reconstruction effort, and the reconstruction money that Japan and Western Europe received from the United States came obviously with conditions, and one of the conditions was that they would have to accept a population control policy. However, this was not something that was declared. It was not the politicians of the day were not given a choice. This was purely a military operation, and this is why it was conducted by military forces. And this is why the Allied used military units from within the Japanese army. And this is why they needed to give those war criminals immunity from prosecution, because you wouldn't have to convince, you know, war criminals to commit to continue to commit crimes against humanity. But they had already done so.
They've got the qualifications necessary for the job.
Exactly, they had the immorality needed to do this. So, if you want to put it in a more political perspective, the Americans have used evil to good ends, if you want. So they have used those evil people within Unit 731, who were known for having murdered tens of thousands, to achieve a demographic outcome that, in the long run, you could argue, it has helped the country achieve stability, peace, and prosperity. And we'll talk about that later. For the time being,
apart from the fact that it takes currently now about three generations to pay off one residence in Japan, in the city.
Yes.
And on top of that, they have a enormous need for foreigners to come into the country, because they simply don't have enough people of youth and working age to even sustain the country.
Yes, the situation is dire indeed, but that is the price that every nation has to pay in the demographic transition. And what is this demographic transition? Well, the demographic transition is a transition from a natural population growth, which, if you were to visualize it, it looks like a pyramid. That is to say, very few old people at the top of the pyramid, and a lot of young people and children at the bottom of the pyramid. Because with every generation, in a natural population growth, the population increases. That is to say, you know, every couple has, it used
2.4.
To have, well, the total fertility rate used to be 3, 4, 5, or 6, depending on the country. Most Western country had a total fertility rate of about 4 at the end of the Second World War. That is to say that every couple in the Western world had 3 to 4 children. That means that the population would basically almost or nearly double with every generation. So the purpose of introducing, or the first objective of a population control policy, is to bring the total fertility rate, that is to say the number of children per couple, from a natural level of 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, depending on the country, to what is called replacement level fertility. That is to say, 2 children or less. If a couple, a man and a woman, has only 2 children, and every man and woman, every couple in the country has only 2 children, the population will neither grow nor decrease. It will stay stable.